Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Do we have a praise the Lord
hallelujah.
In the house?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for the awesomeness of the life that is in your Word,
thank
Father.
You,
we thank you for this time before your throne. You've opened your arms wide and invited your people in. And we thank you, Father, that you have an awesome word for us today.
Yes, Lord.
We submit ourselves to the word. We humbly receive what you prepared for us. And we ask, Father, for a sensitive heart and a hearing ear and a seeing eye to see beyond what we hear, to hear beyond what we hear, and to hear the voice of your Spirit today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to a study in the Word. That's the name of our series. It's actually a study in the living Word. And this is part 13, and the title of today's message is God's Word is Absolute Truth.
Amen.
Absolute truth. Absolute truth. You know, something that's absolute can never be changed.
Amen.
It's absolute. Something that's called absolute zero, what is that?
That's
it's not zero in our terms. It's absolute zero. It can't get any colder than that. It's absolute. And absolute truth means there's no other truth. All the other truth that is conforms to this truth.
That's right.
It becomes a higher law than any law that is. Absolute truth. God's Word is absolute truth. God's Word and God are one, aren't they?
Amen.
That's what the Word says. God and His Word are one. So we're going to start off in our, actually what is our foundation scriptures for our series here. And we haven't looked at them for a while, but it goes right along with what we're going to be talking about today. God's Word is absolute life, and therefore His living Word is absolute truth, because it comes from absolute life. John 1, 1 through 5, Amplified Classic. And I have a, when I get to this one, I want to camp here. I don't have time to camp here, because there's so much in this particular scripture. But John 1, 1 through 5, Amplified Classic, in the beginning, before all time. I won't talk about that, but that's way back there before anything existed. When there was only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and eternity itself, which is God. That's all that existed. So that's the beginning they're talking about.
Is that John or 1 John?
That's John, John 1, 1. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word. So we know that the Word existed before anything else existed. If in the beginning, before all time means, and it does, that nothing existed but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and eternity,
amen,
which God is eternity itself, then the Word says, in the beginning, before all time was the Word, and the Word was with God. So if it was before all time, then it was before anything that existed. Right?
Right.
That's what it says. If it's in the beginning before all time was the Word, that means it existed before time itself and before anything else existed. And that defines the Word as Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there we see that God and His Word are one. He was present. Notice it's talking about the Word being a He.
Yep.
He was present originally with God. So that means before all time again, or before all creation. Verse 3, all things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. So here we see the Word involved in creation. We see that everything, no matter what it is, has its root in the Word. The Word is the Creator, which the Word and God are one. In Him, in the Word, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. So here we see that the Word itself has life in it. It has life. It's alive. Verse 5, and the light shines on in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. Light overcomes darkness.
Amen.
Darkness cannot overcome light. Now let's jump to Hebrews 4:12. Again, we're going to see that the Word is alive. This is the New King James Version. For the Word of God is living. In other words, the other translations say the Word of God is alive. Well, if it's alive, it's living, right? For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart? The Word is.
Yeah.
You can't mislead the Word. You can't trick the Word. The Word is alive. The Word understands. The Word knows. The Word pierces to the dividing line of the soul and the spirit. Can you imagine how fine a line that is?
My.
It's sharp enough to divide the two, the soul and the spirit. The soul is our carnal nature. It's our mind, emotions, and will. That's what our soul
right.
is. Mm-hmm. Our spirit is the real man. So it actually separates between our carnal nature and our spiritual man. That is sharp. That's why the Word comprehends. That's the word. Why the Word, you can't hide anything from the Word. That it searches the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's the Word, the living Word. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Verse 13 again, and there is no creature. If it's alive, if it exists, it cannot be hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open. Why does it say naked? It means exposed.
Laid bare.
It means laid bare. That's another way to put it. It means there's nothing can hide this
right.
creature or what His intentions are or who He is. The Word knows us better than we know us.
Right.
God knows our hearts. God and His Word are one. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things. That includes anything that exists or ever has existed or ever will exist.
That includes thoughts, too.
Amen.
Includes everything.
Thoughts and intents.
But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. You know what? The judge that God uses is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that. He said, I have not come to judge the world. There is one here who does the judging. Even the words which I have spoken. Jesus Himself said the Word is to judge.
Right.
But what else is to judge? Love. Love is to judge. These are the things that will stand judgment for at the end. Good or bad. Not all judgment. When we say judgment, we automatically think it's bad. Something bad's going to happen. Or it's bad for me when I get judged. No. If I'm walking right with God, if I know Him as my Lord and Savior, I've been judged righteous. I've been judged not guilty. You know, a judge has a decision to make. He has to, on the evidence that's in front of him, that's presented to him, or to the jury, they have to make a decision on guilty or innocent. Not everybody comes before the judge is held guilty. You're innocent. You're not guilty. You're acquitted. We've been acquitted.
Hallelujah.
So, at that judgment, we're going to be judged for our love walk and for the Word.
You know, I was called to do jury duty one time. And I'll tell you what. I did some praying.
I bet you did.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
I was called up twice. One for grand jury and one for jury. And I told them both times that I'm a minister. And I said, I have no objection to serving. But you have to understand that I'm a born-again child of God. I'm a minister. So anything that I have to make a judgment on, I have to see it through the eyes of mercy.
Right.
So if you're wanting somebody that's abjectly neutral, I can't be. So you decide whether or not you want me to serve, and I'm happy to serve with the understanding that I will see it through the eyes of mercy and the Word.
Yeah.
You know, there's no time. We can't hide who we are in Christ.
No.
You know, we can't be double-faced or two-sided. Somebody that we're not. And everything that I do, I see through the eyes of the Word. I see through the eyes of love and mercy. I can't be anyone else because that's who I am. And if you're a born-again Christian, that's who you are too. So our judgment that we are held accountable for is our love walk and our words. Our words are judging us. So the words are important. John 17:17. Jesus in the new, when his high priestly prayer just before he went to the cross, and just a short period of time he was headed for the cross. And this is his last recorded high priestly prayer before he went to the cross. And it's a few short words there, but he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So Jesus identified what truth really is. Absolute truth is God's word. It's absolute truth because God and his word are one and God cannot lie. It's absolute life because God is life. His word is alive. Jesus and the word are one. God and the word are one. Also, the Holy Spirit and the word are one. They function together as one because God is one. And whatever you see, wherever you see the Father working, you see God working, you see the Holy Spirit working, and you see the Word working. They're all working together all yes. at one time, always. And because of that, the Word is alive. But here we also see that we're sanctified by the truth, or we're separated. The Word separates us. That's what sanctified means. It means to be taken out and moved into. It means to be separated. Separated from what? Separated from our carnal nature. Separated from this fallen world. We are born again by the living Word of God. So because we're born again by the living Word, we are alive. The Word is resident within us. So we're sanctified by the Word. His Word is truth. So just a few moments after, a few hours after this, which I find fascinating whenever I read it, here Jesus said, "Your Word is truth." Pilate said, what did he say? He said, "What is truth?"
Right.
Well, Jesus identified what truth was before he even got to Pilate. He said, "Your word is truth." So Pilate asked that question. I always thought that was fascinating when I see that question, "What is truth?" But he said to Jesus, well, truth was standing in front of him.
Truth is his middle name. He's truth, the way, yeah. the truth, and the life.
Exactly. So truth was right there. Jesus didn't answer him. That it's recorded.
It's just so amazing to me how the Holy Spirit is so, God is so faithful by His Spirit.
Amen. Oh, amen. Amen.
Just quicken life in us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I mean, you just be going along thinking about something, boop.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Your mind is where God wants it to be.
Amen. Yep. Exactly right. Praise mm-hmm. God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Just as God never changes, God's nature or ways do not change. Neither does his word. God's word has absolute integrity. His word is his bond. His word is absolute truth. I'm going to read that again because that needs to be sealed in our spirits, in our souls, in our minds. Just as God never changes, we know the word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. Just as God never changes, God's nature or ways do not change. Neither does his word. God's word has absolute integrity. His word is his bond. His word is absolute truth. If it has absolute integrity, that means you can lean on it. You can trust it. You can bank your very life on it, and you are. His word has integrity. So why would we go anywhere else to get an answer? Why would we go anywhere else?
Because sometimes we have carnal thinking.
We don't exactly want
we don't
that
realize
answer.
That state. We don't realize that.
It's true.
We may even have a mental concept of it, but not a heart concept. And if we don't have that in our heart, then we're not going to go there first. We're going to go to a highly trusted friend. We're going to go to the doctor. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, but go with the word first. Go with your mind and heart settled that whatever that guy says is going to be God's word to you, and bind up any other word. You listen beyond what he says with the Holy Spirit, by the voice of the Spirit. You listen through what he says and be sensitive inside and allow the word to quicken what he says, what God is doing and bringing forth to you. And you respond on that. Hallelujah. Hopefully you've got a born-again, Spirit-filled doctor.
The Holy Spirit is a quickener, isn't he?
Yes, he is a quickener. He is. That umpire of peace. Mm-hmm. When we hear what he says, that umpire of peace will rise up and there will be a rest mm-hmm. in what you do. And when you try to do something else, there won't be no rest there.
Right.
That's the umpire of the Holy Spirit. We need to train ourselves to be inside listeners. Integrity means unchangeable. It means steadfast, truth, faithful, trustworthy, incorruptible, and perfect. Wow. That's the dictionary definition of integrity. Unchangeable, steadfast, truth, faithful, trustworthy, incorruptible, perfect. God's word is incorruptible. It has integrity.
You know, as you just shared that, I think about my son-in-law and them owning integrity engineering.
Uh-huh. Well, yes, I think of that every time I see that word. And he lives up to that. He does everything he can to walk in integrity. And that's what a man of God does. Whether your company's named Integrity Engineering or not, you walk that way. You walk that way with your family. You walk that way with the world. You walk that way with those that don't have no integrity and are expecting you to do something that's not right. You walk in integrity no matter what it costs you. And that's what the Word does. The Word is always the same. It never changes.
To know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free because it's absolute truth. And that's what Jesus said, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is true. Hallelujah. Psalm 138, verse 2, New King James Version. One person that understood integrity in the word was David. He understood that. He understood that he could lean on the word of God. Here in Psalm 138, verse 2, he says, I will. And we need to stop on that word will, because if you're a word stopper, that that word will mean something. When we say I will, or you see that in the scripture, or God will, or that's an absolute truth. That is something you can lean on. It's absolute. It's an absolute I will. So David here is making a decision. That's what it is. He's made a quality decision. And he's saying, no matter what's going on around me, I will. I'm making a decision here. I make a quality decision, and one that has integrity. I am not changing this decision. When you see that, that word is vital to that scripture, and is vital to you to understand what that word will means, or I shall. Those are absolutes. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. That statement has a lot of power in it. I don't know what David was going through here. I didn't take time to read the rest of that. But I'm sure he was going through a problem. Or he will be.
He's always got enemies getting after him.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Usually, when he makes that kind of statement, he's has real problems. And he says, I will. And this needs to be something that we stand on in our own life, no matter what we're going through. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name.
Hallelujah.
Think about that. God has taken, you know, we have the right to use the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us that very right. In the name of Jesus, we can declare the word of God, and everything has to bow to that name, no matter what we're going through. But here he says that God has magnified his word above his name. So that means that his word has even more power and more authority and more integrity than his own name.
You know,
I mean, that's powerful.
Let me just share this. As you know, my wife and I have called her the minister of deliverance for many, many years. And having that understanding that I will speak the truth, I will take authority over every demon, principality, and power.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Not in your name.
In Jesus' name.
In his name.
And I tell you what, when the revelation comes to you that you actually have that authority in his name.
Amen.
You're not a bit afraid to face any.
Because it's not you doing it.
Any demonic thing you face.
Yeah.
Because you know you have authority over it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
God has put you there. You're speaking as if it was him himself, and it is him.
Mm-hmm.
By the Spirit that dwells in you, it's his voice. It's his word. It's his integrity. That is actually why somebody can get healed or even saved, somebody that's not walking right. Because
yeah.
It's not the person. I always tell people when they come up to get prayed for, don't ever come up to the man. Come up to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're actually coming to him, not to the person. And look through that person at the word. Look through that person at the throne of God. Look through that person at the blood of Jesus. Because that's where the power is. That's where the authority is. That person is only a vessel. When somebody ministers, like I am right now, it's not that person. It's not that person at all. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. And I'm fully aware. I know Brother Eldon ministered for 40 years. I know that he understands that. When you stand in the pulpit and you take God's word, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's in front of the people, whatever, it's not you speaking. It's not you. It has very little to do with you other than you yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit to speak. And
to
when
speak
he
what
speaks,
he gives you to speak.
That
exactly.
Is
not anything else
not
either.
Anything more.
Yes. We don't need anything else. We need his word, him. And he will use that word to, you can say peanut butter and jelly and get somebody delivered.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit quickening those words that you speak. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's ever used peanut butter and jelly to deliver somebody or not, but maybe he has. But my point is, it's not your words. It's not even really what you say. It's what the person hears by the Spirit that the Holy Spirit quickens to that person. So when you come to church, look beyond your pastor. Hear the word. Look at that cross. Look at the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive inside. You can be so blessed with a message you know is not scripturally accurate. God can quicken that word to you in a way that's not being presented. That's so awesome. And if all you have by revelation when you walk out is the fact that it wasn't true, that's a plus too. You know, so you can get something out of anything just about, as long as God is speaking to you by his Spirit.
I have found out that if I just briefly take just a moment to fully submit myself, spirit, soul, and body, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ before I walk into a service.
Yes.
Then I am a vessel.
You're a vessel.
Yeah.
Ready to be filled and received.
Yes, and ready to flow out of.
Yep.
Mm. It doesn't mean you're in the pulpit.
Bless the Lord.
Anyone.
Oh,
no matter who he is or who she is. Glory to God. You have magnified your word above all your name. Glory be to God. And if every knee shall bow to that name, then they'll bow to his word. God and his word are one. So when we take the truth of his word and we present it, whatever is involved in that, they have to bow to that word, because the word is absolute truth. And it's absolute life. The problem we have is when we speak the word, a lot of times we will see it as being our words.
Yeah.
And instead of seeing the life that's actually in that word.
And then receiving it by faith.
By faith. Beyond what you're seeing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what we have to do. We have to go beyond what we're seeing. Well, that's only, as they said about Jesus, well, that's the carpenter's son. Who's he? We know his sisters and his brothers. I mean, it's only him. And what happened there? He could do no mighty works. Because of their unbelief. Not because he couldn't do them, but their faith was involved in what he does.
Amen.
He's always, time after time, if you go through the miracles that Jesus did in the Bible, you'll find in some way or another, it'll be phrased, your faith has made you whole. Your faith, not my faith, your faith. You're connected to my faith. My faith and yours are one. You're connecting to the Word. You're receiving the living Word. You are involved in what that Word does. That's why it's so important for us to see that the Word has integrity, that the Word is truth. It's absolute truth. It can't be changed. You know, I always say it, Jesus is absolute Lord, whether I believe it or not. It doesn't change his position.
Hallelujah.
He's absolute Lord. God is absolute God. The Holy Spirit is absolute Holy Spirit. There is no other. There can never be another. And everything submits to it, whether you think they do or not. And that,
you know, if we truly understand that, we can walk a life totally free.
Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, we can.
Absolutely.
Right in the middle of the darkest times. Glory to God. But we have to take his word as truth. It's a higher law than what the natural laws are. No matter how much truth there is in what's going on around me, his word is above that. And that has to conform to it.
Amen.
It has to conform to it. Psalm 111, verse 7, Amplified Classic. The works of his hands are absolute truth and justice, faithful and right, and all his decrees and precepts are sure, fixed, established, and trustworthy. They stand fast and are established forever and ever and are done in absolute truth and uprightness. Wow, I love the Amplified version of that verse. Amplified Classic again. I'll read it again because it's saying exactly what we've been talking about. Psalms 111, verse 7 and 8. The works of his hands are absolute truth and justice, faithful and right. And all his decrees and precepts, what is that? That's his word. And all of his decrees and precepts are sure, fixed, established, and trustworthy. They stand fast and are established forever and ever and are done in absolute truth and uprightness. Glory to God. That says it right there. Psalm 119, verse 89. Amplified Classic again. Forever, O Lord. How long is forever? We talk about that every now and then. We can't comprehend forever. Forever has no end.
I sometimes just think on that.
Yeah, I do too.
I just stretch my mind out as far as I can stretch
it. You can't stretch it that far.
When I was a kid, that scared me plumb to death. Uh-huh.
Did it?
It took me all my life to get used to the idea of forever, mm-hmm. and eternity, that we're going to be there.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be there.
Forever.
Man, we're going to have some good church, Brother Elton.
I mean, you know. If this revelation would come by the Holy Ghost to every sinner, many of them would come to the Lord.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yes.
So quickly.
And then forever is not even a long time. There's no time involved at all. Eternity is no beginning because God has no beginning. He is. And it has no end because God is the beginning and the end. There is no end. Time has an end.
It says forever, O Lord. Your word is settled in heaven.
Yep.
Settled. Absolute truth. Glory to God. It stands firm as the heavens. 1 Peter 1:25, Amplified Classic. But the word of the Lord, divine instruction, the gospel, endures forever. And this word is the good news which was preached to you. So we have heard, when we heard the gospel, we all heard it a lot of times and didn't yield to it, but the gospel that we've heard is absolute truth. It's absolute life. Hallelujah. And it was preached to us, and it is good news.
Amen.
It's good news that we don't have to go to the devil's hell.
Hallelujah.
It's good news that we have a choice where we spend eternity. That God's just not going to stick us in hell. If I go to hell, I sent myself. If you go to hell, you sent yourself. God did not send you. He said, if you will believe in me. Hallelujah. If. So the choice is mine, not God's. God made his decision. He made it absolute.
And he gave us an absolute free will.
Absolute free will.
To choose.
And whether I can't choose, they're making me do this. You still have a choice.
That's right.
You still have a choice. Even though they're going to force you to walk through that fire, you still have a choice. You can do it with faith or without faith. Trusting God.
God will not interfere.
No.
With our free will.
No.
And I told my son-in-law, my grandson, I said, God has given each of us the power of decision, and he will not interfere
no,
with our
right.
decisions.
He will back it up.
He will back it up.
Whatever our decision is. And that's, I need to know, when I stand in the Word of God and declare it over this situation, no matter how impossible it looks, he'll back that up.
Exactly.
He'll back it up. Even if the situation doesn't change, I will. He will strengthen me to go through that and give me everything I need. But my part is to believe. Psalm 119:105. It's a short verse, but there's a lot of power in it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's so much in that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love the way that puts that. He said, why did he say the word is a lamp to me?
So we're not walking in darkness.
No.
We've got light ahead of us.
We got light. So, but there's two different places this light shines. One is at my feet. Now that's where I am right now. That's the circumstances I'm in right now. That's my feet. That's where I'm standing. My now moment. So the word is a lamp or a light to my now moment. It's bringing revelation. It's shining light on the darkness that's around me. So the darkness cannot comprehend it. It cannot overcome it. So there's light where I am. But what is the light, lamp to my feet? The word is. So if I'm not in the word, if I don't believe the word, then what's at my feet? Darkness. Because, well, it's not dark here, Brother Mike. It's dark if you don't have the word.
The word is light.
We're not talking about sunshine. We're not talking about day or night. We're talking about darkness. We're talking about evil. We're talking about the works of the flesh. If the word is not in me and flowing through me, and I'm not on purpose receiving this living word so it can bring life, then there's darkness where I am.
Yeah. Well, when you think of, like in the days when we would light a lantern and walk in the darkness because there wasn't any street lights, there wasn't anything but the stars and moon. If it was a cloudy night, it was dark.
Yeah.
And even with the brightest lamp or light and lantern that we had, we could only see a few feet in front of us.
That's the lamp at our feet.
But this light shows us our entire path.
That's the next one. That's the next. See, there are two different parts here to this.
We can see where we're going at night on our path.
There's two different parts in this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, my nail, and a light unto my path.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. That's what where I'm not at yet. That's a light towards my future. That's a light towards my next step.
Where you're going.
The lamp is physical. It's right here, right now, in my now. And it's shining on everything I'm in. It's bright. But it also has a light that goes forward to my future. That's the second part. So not only is my now taken care of, but my path is taken care of.
And none of it shines on your past.
No.
Where you've been.
There's nothing, no light here for the past. It's just my now and my future. I don't need a light in my past. So if I turn around and start walking in my past, I'm walking in darkness.
That's what the devil tries to do.
Yep.
Yeah, he wants us out of that light.
He wants us to turn around and look at these things. And
get away from that light.
Yeah.
And that's not... These scriptures are so full of power if you stop on them. So many of us just run through these and don't think about what it's really saying. So don't just run by that. It's just a few words. But there's a lot of revelation in those few words.
Verse 135 says, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes.
Yes.
Isn't that precious?
Who's he talking to?
He's not just talking
into the air.
He's talking to me.
Talking to the Father. This guy's desire.
Yeah,
David is talking to the Father. He's desiring this. So what's going to happen? He's going to get exactly what he asked for.
Yeah.
It's just so full. Redeem me from the oppression of men that I may keep your precepts.
Yes.
Amen.
He's asking God for that.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yes, there's so many lessons we can receive from David. As long as you live by the word of God, you never have to be in darkness again. I don't mean it won't be dark outside. It means the darkness of evil, the carnal way. You don't have to be in that again. And again, as long as you live by the word of God, you never have to be in the dark again. You never have to remain in confusion about which path to take. You never have to grope blindly along, struggling to find your own way. Do you feel that way?
Amen.
Are you right now, whoever's listening to me, are you groping about trying to find the way through this situation? If you are, you're not walking in the light. You're not in the Word, because the Word will teach you how. It will shine light on that circumstance. But if you don't go to the Word, if you don't get into the Word, if you don't search it, if you don't find the promises and believe them, that's your part. You don't look at the circumstances. You never look at the circumstances. That's not where your focus is. Your focus is on the Word. Your focus is on what God said. That's where you apply your faith. You do look at your love walk. Because without that in place, no matter what you look at otherwise won't work. Because it all works by love. You need the word to correct your love walk. They work together. So you don't have to worry about the path you're on. You don't have to grope around in darkness. Get into the word and believe
Amen.
It. If you're not born again, get born again. So the light lives in you. And then your path will be lighted. There'll be a lamp for your feet and a light for your path.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The Word of God will give you all the light you need every day of your life if you will allow it to. It's there. The light's available. The revelation is available. And God's not holding it back. But you have to position yourself. You have to allow it. You have to believe it. Build your faith in that word and renew your commitment to it. And we're going to do a confession here, and then we'll close and take up next time. So I'm going to speak this and wait, and you speak it after me. And don't just speak it, mean business with it. Make a quality decision. Make your decision have integrity today. Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I commit myself.
I commit myself.
To walk in your word.
To walk in your word.
I recognize.
I recognize.
That your word is integrity itself.
That your word is integrity itself.
Steadfast.
Steadfast.
Sure.
Sure.
Eternal.
Eternal.
And I trust my life to its provisions.
And I trust my life to its provisions.
You have sent forth your word.
You have sent forth your word.
Forth into my heart.
Forth into my heart.
I let it dwell in me.
I let it dwell in me.
Richly in all wisdom.
Richly in all wisdom.
It does not depart.
It does not depart.
Out of my mouth.
Out of my mouth.
I meditate in it.
I meditate in it.
Day and night.
Day and night.
So that I may diligently act on it.
So that I may diligently act on it.
Your word is an incorruptible seed.
Your word is an incorruptible seed.
Abiding in my spirit.
Abiding in my spirit.
And it's growing mightily in me.
And it's growing mightily in me.
Now.
Now.
Producing your nature.
Producing your nature.
Your life.
Your life.
I thank you, Father.
I thank you, Father.
That your word is my counsel.
That your word is my counsel.
My shield.
My shield.
My buckler.
My buckler.
My powerful weapon in battle.
My powerful weapon in battle.
It is a lamp unto my feet.
It is a lamp unto my feet.
And a light unto my path.
And a light unto my path.
It makes my way straight before me.
It makes my way straight before me.
And I never stumble or fall.
And I never stumble or fall.
For my steps are ordered by your word.
For my steps are ordered by your word. Amen.
I recognize.
I recognize.
The strategies and deceits of Satan.
The strategies and deceits of Satan.
And I put a stop to them.
And I put a stop to them.
By speaking your word out of my mouth in faith.
By speaking your word out of my mouth in faith.
I am confident, Father.
I am confident, Father.
That you are at work in me.
That you are at work in me.
Both to will and to do.
Both to will and to do.
Your good pleasure.
Your good pleasure.
I exalt your word.
I exalt your word.
I hold it in high esteem.
I hold it in high esteem.
I give it first place in my life.
I give it first place in my life.
I boldly and confidently say.
I boldly and confidently say.
That my heart is fixed.
That my heart is fixed.
And established.
And established.
On the solid foundation.
On the solid foundation.
The living word of God.
The living word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Father, we receive this word. We believe this word. We agree with this confession today. And those of you who are listening by tape, by audio, by MP3, or on Facebook, you make this quality decision. His word is truth, absolute truth. His word has integrity. I believe it. I receive it. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that it brings life to me. Holy Spirit, rise up as I go through my daily life and quicken this word to me. Quicken it to me and quicken it to us as we walk through our daily decisions. No matter how dark it is, your light is shining in that darkness. We receive the ministry of the angels that hearken to this word. They take a hold of it and they start working with it and acting on it. We thank you, Father, that now is the time for signs, wonders, and miracles to take place because of your word. It is time for the light to shine in this dark world. And we are the light that you placed here. We thank you for this honor and privilege, Lord. We thank you that we do not have to be the ones doing it. It is your word that we believe that does the work. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I preach myself happy again.
Can I share a testimony
Most certainly, brother.
Of course, we had a lot of rain, a lot of snow.
Yeah.
And the wind blew it off of my roof, and the snow was 3 feet deep in my stairway.
Oh, boy.
And I did not have the strength to shovel off all of the deck, all of the steps. And then I had to go downstairs and go from the downstairs and shovel the snow off before I could get to the steps to get them off to go up to the deck.
Yeah.
And then there was a driveway that no car could get up.
Yep.
I prayed before I went outside and I said, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to give me strength. And I ask you to give me wisdom to understand and know when I've done all I should do.
Exactly.
And Father, I pray also, I'm asking you to send someone to help me.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So I went downstairs, went out, started shoveling. I'd been shoveling about 35, 40 minutes. And here came a lady walking up the street with one of those big salt things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, sir, she said, do you need some salt? I said, well, I have some, but I said, she said, well, is there some way that I can help you? I said, well, let me ask you this. Could you help shovel? She said, I certainly can. She said, my 15-year-old daughter is staying with me this weekend, and she's here, and she can shovel also. They came up. The daughter took my stove shovel, and the mother brought her a brand new snow shovel, and the two of them started shoveling. And then I used my regular shovel to start shoveling off the snow off the steps. Now, those two ladies worked and shoveled off from the lower, from the where my steps go up to the deck down to the street, and the city had plowed along with the snow plow. And the snow was this deep in my driveway. No way you could get a car in it.
Yeah.
And they shoveled that down about
oh, bless their heart.
12 feet wide, enough that a car could pull up there. And then we salted it down good. And in the meantime, we'd stop once in a while. And I told her name was Rhonda Nutter, was the lady's name. And I told her, I said, you do not understand probably maybe what I'm going to tell you, but you are a direct answer to a prayer that I prayed. And I told her the very prayer I prayed, and she was so blessed. And she said, I said, where do you live? She said, I live two doors down. I immediately knew that that was the house, and that was the mother of the 11-year-old boy that hanged himself and committed suicide.
When was this?
A year and a half, 2 years ago. And her daughter now lives, and I said, do you have a husband? She said, no, I'm divorced. Well, her divorced husband lives in Salem, and this daughter lives with her dad and goes to high school now in Salem. But to show you how God works,
oh man,
I was able to minister a word of encouragement to them both, and she said, Eldon, she said, I want to give you my phone number. And she says, and I said, would you please write your name down too? And she said, yes, it's Rhonda Nutter. And she said, I want to give you my phone number because she said, I told her that I was on no drive order, see. And she said, I want you to have my phone number and keep it where you know right where it is, because any time that you need to go somewhere or do something, I can bring my car and I can take you.
Well,
praise God.
Great.
Now, isn't that a direct
That's
answer to prayer?
God always does exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think.
That name sounds familiar. I don't remember
Glory to God. Well, thank you. Bless you all.
It does.